high as SeaTac. Clo-Clo here, your chickadee in love with the sky. While the raiders raid, the choke-chokes, the shroud glooms, whatever you have going on, I'm here for ya. We have a big show for you today. Updates on the Vault 199 story, where we have statements coming directly from the Black Cat, Mick Shannon, the new leader of Vault 199, and updates on the survivors now in Emporium, and so much more. But first, our top story. The Council has put out the call. The decennial elections are here. This is your chance, listeners. This call goes out to every citizen of every tribe of every hill. You are invited back to cast your vote. This is your chance to elect new leadership, to go to Gateway and oversee the council. Do you feel your civic duty? In related news, no word from the council yet on establishing a final deal for formal relations with the new California Republic. You'll recall, the NCR, as they call themselves, is a group yet to establish any real power in the SeaTac region, but has made big promises of new trade routes and access, but has asked a heavy price in exchange. That price? To follow their rules. The SeaTac region, our home, has always valued its independence, and as such, this has been a hotly debated topic, with some, and indeed many, feeling that these newcomers would just put too many restrictions on the freedoms that we now enjoy. That's all the more reason to let your voices be heard. Go vote. Moving on. Two notes showed up at the studio, carried along by robots under the employ of the Black Cat, Mick Shannon. You'll recall that Mick Shannon was one of the individuals seen leaving with the caravan gang after the shootings at Vault 199. With this developing story, I thought it best to bring you his reply on the air. The first letter arrived 4 hours after the 199 story broke, saying, quote, "It was a bad situation. Please accept this fruit basket and vinyl I found." Also, there was a note about a gambler, Utah, requesting his name not be used on the radio. Well, the station thanks you for the vinyl, and no promises to the gambler. The next letter arrived roughly 5 hours later. To quote, "I'm not going to go into everything, but long story short, we found out one of the people at 199, the one that joined us in Emporium, was being forced to do things against her will and didn't want to stay there. A few of us helped her to get out, and a plan was made to cause a non-violent distraction so the caravan could just leave with her in tow. But none of us knew the guy in the coat was going to go all fucking explosion happy. Once the whole mess started, we didn't really have much of a choice but to try and get the hell out of there. I don't know how many people got hurt, but I swear it wasn't our intent. The 25 or so survivors on their way to the city of Emporium left the vault of their own free will. We armed them the best we could and sent them off since we didn't have the supplies to take them with us. Please let your listeners know that we didn't mean to harm anyone. We were just trying to get some people out of a bad situation, and things escalated that we weren't expecting. Listeners, we have since learned the name of the 199 dweller referred to in that letter, the one who joined the caravan gang when it started in Emporium. Apparently, she goes by the name Alice, and was of some importance to the vault. Past that, we haven't learned much else. I must admit, listeners, I find this account troubling and this story conflicting. Raiders and mercenaries with their own goals in mind usually wouldn't bother with a response, or they would boast about what they've done to gain renown and instill fear in any who would take action against them. But, as always, I'll let you be the judge, C-Tac. So, with that, let's take a break. After the break, we'll have the response from the new leader of those still at Vault 199 and those returning. And we'll have an update on the fate of those who fled and are staying in Emporium. Let's see what's on this vinyl, shall we? Apparently Christmas music. I'm sorry, I could make out the artist, Henrik Nagy, but the title was well worn with time. Based on the context clues of the song, we'll call it Christmas Will Be Only You and Me. Moving on, Vault 199 has chosen a new leader. He goes by the name Brother Caleb. he issued the following statement. What happened here was sick. These are damned criminals. They deserve no sympathy. We deserve justice. When asked about Alice, he swore and walked away. Checking in on the survivors now in Emporium, we have more tragedy. A strange disease has broken out among the 25 and is beginning to spread to the rest of the city. Visitors are advised to stay clear for the time being, and a call has been put out to any doctors or any medical professionals in the area for aid. As far as the caravan goes, there have been no new reports of violence. And listeners, that's a thankful bit of news to me. In other news, there have been an increase in sightings of strange, armored, winged figures in the SeaTac area, often after fights between raiders or other groups. These beings have been called eagles, valkyries, angels, and they strike fear into those who see them. Whatever they are mysterious and possibly dangerous. It's hard to tell. In the meantime, if you are out on the road, keep a close eye on the skies. And with that, we'll check in on the weather. Crazy Raider Josie is back again, yelling wildly. She has proclaimed that the shroud will be thick today, and rain is likely. And not only is the rain likely, it's likely tinged with a little bit of acid. Thank you, Josie. Stay safe. And to all those within the sound of my voice, keep looking out for the sun. Keep climbing toward your dreams. We'll end our show here for now, but we'll continue to update you as new stories break. Here's a song to play you out. It's called The Bird Is Free by Martin Carlberg and Lisa Jundberg. Stay safe, SeaTac. SeaCast Radio is a radio drama set in a post-apocalyptic Seattle called SeaTac. The events covered happened during a LARP RPG campaign of an original story inspired by and leaned in on the Fallout universe by Bethesda, as well as other post-apocalyptic trappings. I have the biggest thanks to the GM of that campaign, Kat, for setting up the story. The players for playing through it. I could not have done this without your blessings and support in letting me be your DJ and tell your story. It's a great honor. The podcast was voiced and produced by me, Rainy J. You can find me on the social medias, 1Y in Rainy, 2Ys on J. You can find the podcast home at seacastradio.podomatic.com. All the music credits and license statements are in the show notes. It is actually one of my great joys bringing you this excellent, excellent music. And most of all, I have the biggest thanks to all of you. Thank you for listening. And you can't. You can beg, and you can plead.